there. I'm Dr. Trevor Cates. Welcome to the Spot Doctor podcast. On today's podcast, we're talking about how to turn your health and your life around. My guest is Rena Jadhav. She is a Harvard MBA, and she's an advisor to numerous startups in Silicon Valley and has a passion for disruptive ideas that transform the human experience and create meaningful, lasting change. On a personal note, she had colon cancer at 35 years old and another health crisis at 45 years old, which this all led her to take charge and become the CEO of her own health. So she really shifted her focus, and she refused to accept what conventional doctors were telling her, that she would have to live with her 28 symptoms indefinitely, and spent 15 months getting back to her health. Today she is healthier and happier than she's ever been and is on a mission to spread the truth about health. And on today's podcast, Rena shares about her journey, shares tips to help you take charge of your health so you can prevent issues as well as transform your health and your life. So please enjoy this interview. Rena, it's so great to have you on my podcast. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Dr. Trevor. I'm super excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So you have this pretty amazing health journey and some challenges that have come up for you. You don't have a medical background, but you have a business background, which is kind of different from other guests that I've had on the show. And you've done some really interesting things that from your own path and your own experience in life have led you on a really interesting mission. So can you share with everybody a bit about your journey?
Absolutely. So I'm a tech entrepreneur. I'm a Harvard MBA working undergrad, you know, your typical sort of working too much, maybe partying a little too much kind of DNA. And at 35, in the middle of one of my startups, I had colon cancer. And that was my body giving me a huge signal, not that I had time to listen to it. So I had my surgery and continued on with another startup. And about 2 years ago, I had my second crisis, and I call it my way bigger crisis because I had about 28 symptoms, including extreme weight loss. I was losing a pound a week while eating 2,000 calories a day, and they couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. My tests kept coming clear. And so the conventional doctors, all amazing doctors, very qualified, tested me on every imaginable thing, including cancer, because the concern was I might have cancer again, and basically came back and said, you know what, you're the healthiest sick person we know. So we think you might be depressed. We think you might be anorexic. You're not telling us the truth about what you're eating. And oh, by the way, here's prednisone, because you're right, you do have some crazy symptoms, like you have hives all over you, you have rashes, you're losing this weight. So we think if you take prednisone, you know, it'll just normalize things for you and you should just go away. And I had this little breakdown, sort of, what do you mean go away? What do you mean, like, you're done with me? I have to figure this out on my own. And so it was one of those moments of, I could have just gone in one direction, which is what apparently the rest of the world does. You know, they take prednisone, they take antidepressants, and they kind of continue with the, you're getting older, deal with it, which is what I was told. Or you can do what I did, which is I said, no, that cannot be the rest of my life. You know, supposedly technology is going to make us live really long. And this is no way to live. I mean, I would breathe and I would hive out. And so I decided to then figure it out for myself. And I spent 15 months and I figured it out and I healed myself. I reversed every symptom. But Dr. Trevor, what's interesting, what happened in this journey is that I came out of it healthier, happier, apparently younger looking, as my friends tell me. And I had the second aha moment of, wait, I could have lived this life all my life. I could have been this joyful and happy and cheerful. I didn't have to live with the fatigue and the exhaustion and the aches and the pains, which kind of kicked in around mid-20s and stayed all the way through. And so the mission I'm on is to share the truth with everyone that we are a sick nation. We're living in a polluted garbage dump, which we don't see around us, but that's what we are. We're living in this garbage slump. We are breathing toxins, wearing toxins, eating toxins, thinking toxins, watching toxins, and that we can get out of it. And we can not only get out of it, we can lead happier, healthier lives. And I call myself the PR agency for the sun, for chlorella, for all the things out there that have no PR agents For doctors like yourself, for doctors like, you know, Dr. Joel Kahn, Dr. Mae Seibel, Dr. Keneally, doctors that are MDs who are committed to natural healing, you know, I'm sort of the PR agency for them at this point.
Well, and I think that's great because doctors are busy seeing patients, so they don't always have time to do that kind of message. And also, sometimes it might appear self-serving if they're trying, you know, when they say, "Oh, I can do these things to help you," it can seem self-serving, and people, you know, there's a trust concern, and so it's always nice when patients or people that have been through this journey share it with other people, because then people know it's not just doctors trying to make more money or, you know, grow their practice or something. Like, there really is a story behind it, and there's a reason behind it, and there is success. And because, you know, a lot of times with holistic medicine, people look down at it as, I mean, I've heard everything from, oh, that's voodoo medicine, or that's voodoo stuff, to witchcraft, to, I mean, I've heard all kinds of things. And it's shocking to me because I know there's so much science now behind it. And at the same time, I also know that, you know, research itself is flawed. You can make a study show just about anything. So we need that both. I mean, I love research. I think it's important to have, but we also need these patient stories. We need to know, you know, these case studies and things in addition to the research. And we've got the history behind holistic medicine to support it. But we, you know, it does take, you know, it's going to take a lot more effort because there's not, you know, the same kind of money. Like, the pharmaceutical industry has a lot of money behind it, and doctors just don't have that. I mean, people think, oh, doctors have a lot of money, but not compared to big pharma.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, we talk about research and conventional medicine as sort of science-based, and yet the statistics are that every 5 to 7 years, we reverse whatever we were saying, right? So eggs are bad for you. Eggs are not that bad for you, right? Like, fat is bad for you. Now fat is good for you. So we know exactly what you said, that research keeps coming up with changes and dramatic changes. What doesn't change is how you feel. And so that's one of my other missions that I'm on, is to empower people to say, you know how your body feels, right? You need to learn that skill of listening to yourself, and not blindly following what research is saying, because research may not be right. You know, they were saying forever, take aspirin every day, take aspirin. And now I just recently did an interview where one of the doctors said, I don't recommend it. It's contraindicated for people below 60. So there's so much conflicting research. While we're able to sell pills using that research, I firmly believe that the mantra people need to follow is, how do you feel? Take something. Make a note, be mindful. How do you feel? And if you feel better, continue doing it. If you don't feel better, change it. Don't just follow the research blindly.
Yeah. And sometimes it does take time to feel better with something. You know, initially sometimes, you know, you give up caffeine, for example, you might get some wicked headaches. That doesn't necessarily mean that that's bad for you. So yeah, sometimes it takes a little time, so, and a little patience. But yes, checking in with your body and using that as a tool. I mean, I always talk about skin being our magic mirror that gives us a lot of information about our health. So checking in with your body, what messages is it trying to tell you? I mean, skin is one of them, and that's just been one focus that I've presented, because it's just easy to look at your skin. But noticing how you feel is such a huge thing, because I think so many people don't, like you were saying, people don't even know how good they can feel, because they've been living so long in chronic pain or fatigue, insomnia, these things that, or inflammation, inflammatory conditions, and that they don't even know what's possible.
Exactly. I remember after my second child, so I've got an 18 and a 13, my 13-year-old, when she was born, about 8 months later, I remember going into the doctor saying, you know, I just don't feel right. I'm so exhausted. No matter what I do, I'm having my multivitamins. I just feel exhausted to the point where I can't speak. I get so tired. And I remember her saying, bless her heart, welcome to motherhood. What do you expect? This is how it is. And, you know, now fast forward, what, like 20 years, well, okay, from my little one, 13 years. And I wake up in the morning, like jumping out of bed. Of course, I've not had caffeine now in 18 months. No caffeine, pretty much no sugar other than fruit sugar. So I don't have any artificial stimulants, right? Not even green tea. So when I wake up full of energy and I'm, you know, running whatever 4 miles in the morning and I'm having a full day, having my first breakfast meal sort of around 11, I know that that's possible for everybody. That it's not true that we have to live with fatigue and energy, then it's just part of motherhood, right? It's because of the lifestyle that we've been leading. The other thing you mentioned, I have to share my story about skin. So, you know, Dr. Trevor, one of the first symptoms for me was skin. It was hives. So I woke up one morning and I had hives on my face and they kind of went away. A week later, more hives. Third week, my eyelids were shut almost, you know, rashes. They started becoming bigger welts, sort of the hives would clump and become welts. As you can imagine, right, as a woman, as a tech entrepreneur, how do I leave home looking like this? So it became one of my first reasons to rush to the doctor and say, what the hell's wrong with me? Fix my skin. As it turns out, it's the intestines. You know, Chinese medicine and Ayurveda firmly believe that your gut is your skin. So what's inside is right here. And so the first thing that those guys said to me was, there's something wrong with your gut. So that's how I figured out what was wrong with me. It was those guys saying, there's something up with your gut. And then we found SIBO. And then we found a whole bunch of other stuff. And it was all gut and it was all showing up right here. So now when I meet people who complain about like acne and allergies, rashes, hives, redness, rosacea, I always say, go get your gut checked out.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's definitely one of the big root causes behind skin issues. I definitely find that to be the case. And then you've also mentioned to me that going through menopause had a big impact on your skin too. Do you want to share anything about that?
Yeah, so in the middle of all of this crisis, I went through menopause. And a little early, as my gynae would say, not really, 48's normal. You know, I wasn't 48 then, but she said, you're just a couple of years out. But to me, I thought menopause was far away. It was so far in the distance, it was not in my horizon. So when it hit, my FSH numbers came back. It sort of shook me like, whoa, can't believe I'm already that old. With that said, within 6 months of kind of being first diagnosed with, yep, you're in menopause, full-fledged, I started noticing, like I would look at the skin and I'd say, what's going on with my eyes? Like my eyes started getting those folds where when you smile and there's all these wrinkles underneath. That was the first. And then I started to notice this complete sagging. Like stuff was just, you know, like in those cartoons where stuff just starts to melt. It was like that. It was like, what's happening? I was starting to see stuff like down here and down here. And, you know, the wrinkles started kind of popping up 6 months. And I tried, you know, the stuff people recommend, like go buy the really expensive caviar cream and all of that stuff. And it just didn't feel right. Like I said, I've become so tuned to listen to myself. And so I did a whole bunch of stuff. And as you can see, it all kind of went away. And I call it my weeds program because it really got something I got addicted to because it was working. And weeds is sort of, you know, W is for what you wear. And I switched to putting argan oil and just different oils. So I switched out of kind of the old stuff just to pure oils, jojoba, carrot, that kind of stuff. E for exercising. So I started doing exercises that bring blood to your skin. So Bikram yoga is one of my favorites. I'll do it twice a week. And just all this blood just rushing, gushing around your face kind of clears, I think, things out. It takes nutrients up. And detoxifying, you know, for the D, really important. I bought an infrared sauna and I sit in it and I make sure I kind of get all the crap out. Supplements, I started making sure that I was doing collagen. I started eating chicken liver. I started having more jello, like gelatin pudding, just kind of taking things in that I had never, ever taken before. And it kind of worked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. And I think that, you know, there's a lot in there that you said that can be beneficial for people. I think some things are are personalized. Like that was a plan that worked really well for you. I can't say that that's going to work for everybody. Not everybody does great with Bikram yoga. For example, sometimes people don't do well with that heat and can be too rough on people, especially they have a lot of adrenal issues. But certainly there's a lot of the things in there, you know, collagen, getting some internal collagen peptides and increased blood flow and detoxification, and all of those things are really important for us to do. And really, you know, cleaning up your life. That's a lot of what you did. It's just cleaning things up. And that's why I talk about things, talk about this in my book, Clean Skin from Within, is that whole approach of what can you do to clean up from the inside out? What can you do to have more of a clean lifestyle so that your body can address those root causes like inflammation and hormonal imbalances and gut issues? And then collagen is also helpful for healing the gut too. So that was, you know, that's another thing that could have been really helpful for you. So that's great that it, and you said that you're not wearing any makeup right now. You just have some lotion on your face. Yep.
That's right. I'm not. I thought for this episode, I would just come as I am. I just, you know, have an eyeliner from actually probably last night. Cause it's one of those, hardcore ones. And, I'm just wearing a moisturizer actually. That's it. So I pretty much spend my days with no makeup these days. You know, I don't feel like I need to cover up anymore. And I feel like it allows my skin to breathe so much. So yeah, I feel, very blessed that I was able to figure it out for me. And like you said, I think people just have to take the time to figure it out for themselves in terms of what's going to work for them. And you have amazing products. I love your products.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yes. And just certainly they're very clean and nourishing and help with the skin pH, skin microbiome. So very supportive and nourishing to the skin. Thank you. I want to back up for a little bit. The life that you used to live, can you describe to people kind of what a day in your life was like then versus what it's like now? Because I think it would be interesting for people to see the difference.
Oh, what a great question. What a great question. So my life pretty much since I would say the age of 15, because starting 15, kind of the high school craziness of school, getting grades, then going to college, then working in undergrad, then my first job, my second job, my grad school, and my four startups before I got sick, pretty much had the same kind of pattern, which is, and I'll give an example just from my most recent last startup. It was a company that became a multi-billion dollar company. I was here in the US, the company was based out of Israel. I'm sort of head of US, chief marketing officer. And so I would start my day actually around midnight, because I would start to interact with the CEO and we'd strategize and, you know, give updates, et cetera. I'd go to bed around probably 2-3 in the morning, and then I'd be up at 6:30, 7 to get my kids off, even though we had to live in nanny, but still to get the kids off, you know, get them taken care of, and then start my day, because my day would start around 8 o'clock. And so 8 o'clock onwards, I would be on the go. So whether I was flying to Las Vegas to sell something or flying to New York, or I was going to meetings, you know, an hour away, I live in the Bay Area, everything's about an hour, hour and a half away. So kind of fighting that commute. And in that time, of course, I was chugging down about 4 to 5 cups of coffee a day. And that's been kind of consistent my whole life. Like I would start with like, you know, a cup of coffee and then chug another. Lunch was very haphazard. It just depended on where I was and what was convenient. So if a vending machine was convenient, then that would be lunch. If a restaurant was convenient, then whatever it was, you know, that's what I would go for. There was not much mindfulness in terms of, hey, what am I having for lunch? How am I nourishing myself? That concept of how am I nourishing myself never existed. So lunch was always kind of on the run, and then back to meeting. A lot of firefighting, right? Always a lot of angst, because in a startup, things are never going right. So it was a lot of highs and lows. Oh my God, we closed a customer. Oh my God, someone's about to leave us, right? So someone's leaving or someone's coming. So as a chief executive or CEO, which again, I did that role, there's a lot of stress, right? So it was sort of that mode all the way till I would get home. And I would usually grab food on the way from some restaurant for the family. And then we'd sit down, hurriedly eat, get the kids to bed, and try to unwind for maybe an hour or so, you know, before then kind of starting my night shift. And that was, in essence, my lifestyle pretty much, you know, since I can remember. Even when I was studying, I mean, that's how I would study. I would just kind of study, because that's what it takes to get into kind of good schools. Today, it's the exact opposite. So today, my entire day is structured around how am I going to nourish myself. So I first thing I do when I wake up in the morning is I actually do a meditation. So I did a couple of kriyas with Sadhguru. So I start my day with Shambhavi and Shakti Chalana. So it's either a 25 minute or an hour, depending on how much time I have in the morning. I'll do my little oil pulling. I'll do my Zach Bush's nitric oxide dump workout in the bathroom. And then depending again, whether it's 30 minutes or more, I'll either go for a quick run in the sun, because for me, the sun is the most important thing. Just even 20 minutes. I'm actually looking at the sun right now going, oh, I'm looking forward to doing that later this afternoon. So just getting out in the sun, and then I'll start my day. And I'll make sure to have a green drink of some sort. So that's the whole alkalinity part of it. So whether it's just a green smoothie or an amazing grass green drink. My lunch is always extremely nutritious, made fresh. So I'll make a combination of protein. So whether that's like quinoa and some vegetables, or I added seafood, I added fish. So I'll do a salmon, and pretty much that's the only fish I take, as you know, I'll add a little salmon in. Or I'll do like a minced chicken liver, depending on how I'm feeling, with again, maybe a portion of white rice and some vegetables. So that's my lunch every day. I always take a break after lunch. So lunch means I'm sitting in the sun with my feet on the ground, regrounding myself. And then I'll take maybe 15, 20 minutes just to kind of close my eyes. And then after that, I am back to work. So once I'm back to work, I then go into my dinner mode, right? So pretty much around 6 o'clock or so, dinner is always something that I cook for the family. So I'll make something fresh. I go to the farmer's market. So there's always fresh vegetables, and it'll be a combination of maybe lentils, maybe pilau. We do a lot of Indian cooking at home because of all the spices, which are so good for you. So we'll do that. Family time, maybe a little stroll outside and a little workout, and in bed 10:30 or 11, absolutely the latest.
Great. Well, and that's fantastic. I think it's great for people to hear how one extreme to the other. And you certainly have gone from one extreme to the other. And I think we all, anybody listening or watching, we all either have related to these extremes or those places of high work, high intensity, and not really nurturing yourself. We either have done it ourselves or we know people who are doing it right now. And so I think it's good to catch ourselves before getting sick like you did. Because if we continue on that path, there's a really good chance at some point it's going to catch up with you. And I do see it. And people will say to me, oh, but so-and-so is living like this and they eat whatever, or they smoke or they would drink or whatever. The problem is most of the time it catches up at some point. It could be in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. You never know when that exactly is going to happen, but it usually does happen. And instead of waiting for that, you know, to hit the wall and have all these health issues, take advantage of learning from, you know, someone like yourself and this your story, and make those changes now. And even and the lifestyle that you're living now, not everybody can shift into that right away. It can take time for people to gradually make healthy lifestyle choices. So do you have any suggestions to how to go from over here, you know, one extreme to all the way over here? Because it's not, you probably didn't wake up one day and then all of a sudden be living the way you're living right now, right?
Not at all. I did thousands of changes before even figuring out what worked for me. And so what I'm leading now is a culmination of almost 16 months of going through and experimenting and testing and figuring it out. But you are so right. Now that I'm on this mission, I'm out there telling everybody around me, wake up, you know, don't get sick like I did. Like, it's awful. Because you really don't value health until you lose it. And please, everyone out there who's listening, listen to this. Once you lose it, you realize it's actually the only thing that matters in life. I would have given up everything at that point. That one night in that bathroom when I had my breakdown, I would have traded everything. I would have given everything and gone and lived as a homeless person if someone had said, that's the trade-off. Give everything up, become homeless, and I'll give you your health back. I would have said, it's a deal. You got it. So when you lose your health, you realize how pretty much your entire life experience is based on the fact that you have health. So treasure it. It's literally the most important gift God's given you. And so with that said, here's the book that I'm writing. It's about the little changes. So Malcolm Gladwell's onto something when he says, tipping point in his book, you know, it's the little changes, but you have to pick the right changes and they'll make huge difference. And I've applied that to health. So I brought sort of business learning into health. And here's what I found. There's a few simple changes that you start making every day. So you don't make all the changes immediately. It starts, first of all, with your mind. So the first thing I recommend is make that mental commitment to health, because if you don't do that, nothing else is going to happen. So how do you make a mental commitment? Write a journal, write it down on a piece of paper, get your cell phone right in that, right? Just say, you wake up, you say, I'm committing to my health. My health comes first. So you're starting to commit to yourself. It'll change the psychology of everything else around you. It's remarkable how that works. Or look in the mirror and say, you're important to me. Your health is important to me. I care about you. And again, it'll change how you make decisions. Our subconscious is so powerful. So that's the first thing I say. You've got to start with vocalizing this commitment of my health comes first. Number two, sleep forgives everything. If you can fix your sleep, so many of your other issues and ills, as they say, kind of got sorted out, because your body, when it sleeps, fixes your mistakes when you're awake. How do you fix your sleep? There's a lot of different things you can do. It's, again, figuring it out. What are you doing that's wrong that's making you not sleep at night? For example, watching television in your bedroom, that'll ruin it. I don't allow TV in our bedroom anymore. It was a huge fight. We watch TV outside the bedroom. The bedroom is a TV-free zone. What that does now is when I walk into the bedroom, my mind goes, I'm ready to sleep, because that's what it is. It's a place for rest. So create your bedroom as a place for rest. There's so many wonderful things like chamomile tea you can take. There's a stress ease supplement that I take, kind of ashwagandha, etc. Simple magnesium, right? That really, again, helps calm you down. If you're deficient, you'll have sleep issues. So figuring out why you're not sleeping, but I would say sleep is the second most important little thing. If you sleep at midnight, start sleeping at 11:45, then 11:30, then 11:20. So don't go from 12:45 to 10, right? Like, it'll never happen. So you kind of make little changes every day, but you make a change every single day. That's kind of my mantra. The third thing is, call it mindfulness, call it meditation, but find a mini vacation for yourself. So that's the other thing that has found that scientifically, if you can find that mindful moment that calms you down during the day, it forgives a lot of the ills of the morning. So that could be 10 minutes in the sun that you're just sitting with your bare feet. I typically suggest do it with lunch, because that's an easy peasy thing. You're going to have lunch anyway. You might as well kind of sit outside, take your shoes off, and you'll feel different. There is scientific research that when you eat vegetables and you get sunlight, your body absorbs the greens better. So lots of benefits there. So that's the third big one, is take mini vacations every day. And the fourth one is the sun. We are not getting enough sun. There was an interview I did with Dr. Jack 2 days ago. The sun is meant to literally reverse like 33 different cancers, and will help you with sleep, and will fix so many other issues in your body. It's the power that powers us. I mean, it's the power that powers the plants, right? It powers the planet. It is the power that powers us, and we're just not plugging into it enough. So 5-minute walk in the sun in the morning, a little bit in the afternoon, something at night, schedule it in. So that's the other thing I say, whatever you want to do, schedule it in. And initially, just do one little thing every day. So you don't have to do all six things just pick one and say, today I'm going to do this. And what you'll notice is over time, suddenly you'll start yourself doing two things a day and then three things a day. And then it becomes a habit.
I really like your the tips that you've given to for helping people shift and make those changes in their lifestyle. And I think that there's so much that we can do to support people, and it's really those daily choices that we make, right? Those we need a little bit of encouragement, a little bit of motivation, some support. So I know you have you've got these healthy boot camps, and that's great that you can help people on their wherever their stage is and what their focus is. That's fantastic. So do you want to share your website for how people can find out more about you?
Absolutely. So it's healthbootcamps.com. So it's plural, just healthbootcamps.com. Just go to healthbootcamps.com, and there you can look at the list of boot camps. You can get a free journal. By the way, we have a so I also wrote my HEAL journal, because to me, any health journey begins actually with a journal. I'm convinced, because I tried without it. It didn't work. I looked for journals. I couldn't find one, so I just made one. And we sell it at cost. You can order it on Amazon, but the link's in there as well. And we give you a 30-day free journal list. So you just go on the site, get your free journal. And you can try, I have an upcoming My HEAL Journal bootcamp, which will be completely free. So if someone's interested, they can sign up and give that a try. And all the other information, we have some wonderful podcast interviews, including with you, Dr. Trevor. So someone who's interested in what is the truth about health, how can I get my health back? There's a lot of free resources, including interviews with amazing doctors that they can listen to.
Perfect. All right, Rena, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. I really appreciate your information.
Thank you so much, Dr. Trevor, and everybody out there. Stay smiling. Get your health back. I'll see you soon.
I hope you enjoyed this interview today with Rena. To learn more about her, you can go to thespadoctor.com, go to the podcast page with their interview, and you'll find all the information and links there. And while you're there, I invite you to join the Spa Doctor community. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so you don't miss any of our upcoming shows. You can get audio or video versions so you can listen at your leisure or watch when it works for you. Also, if you haven't done so already, I highly recommend you get your customized skin report at theskinquiz.com. It can give you great information about what your skin is trying to tell you about your health, the root causes, and what to do about it. Just go to theskinquiz.com. Also, I invite you to join me on social media on Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and join the conversation. And I'll see you next time on the Spa Doctor podcast.